Chapter 1. One thing I wanted to mention too is I wanted to make sure I talked to her before I mentioned this out. I know she's on the prayer list now, but I'd be praying for Pat Tower. She had been having some tests done, and as she was having some tests done, they started looking at other things, and they found out that she's got lung cancer. And of course, she's here this morning, so you know, give her a hug if you see her, and just you know, be praying for her. That's hard, heavy news to bear, you know. So really, be praying for our sister, and you know, just being, you know, to be an encouragement to her also. Before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for all we got going on. Lord, I pray that as busy as it looks, Lord, I pray you'll just give us the energy, Lord, and the gumption, Father, just to get through, Lord, and do what you want to be done, and give us joy amidst what seems kind of hectic, Father. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Joshua chapter 1 this morning. And I kind of titled the sermon, you know, what promises are you relying on? Or what promises do you rely on in your life, if that makes sense? And as we're looking here at Joshua chapter 1, one thing to take notice of is that this is a big transition time for the children of Israel. Moses had just died, right? Moses had been leading the children of Israel, not just through the wilderness from the time they left Egypt, but at the same time, he was leading them even before that. Right, he went and talked to the children of Israel. He was even made some big mistakes for the children of Israel to where they had to make more bricks. Remember, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Hey, Pharaoh, you know, we want to take the Hebrews out and go worship our God for a couple days." And then what Pharaoh say? "Well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to give you more work to do." And the Bible says that the Lord hardened his heart and, you know, it just made life hard on him. Right. So Moses was trying to lead the children of Israel even before they left Egypt. Right, so when we get through the book of Exodus, it gives us the story about how they left Egypt. We get in Numbers talks more about that. Numbers covers their time when they were wandering in the wilderness for about 38 years. Is how long a time the book of Numbers covers. And then it's interesting, you get to Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy only covers about a month's time, about a month, you know, about 30 days, if you will. And then, you know, during that time also is when Moses passes away at 120 years old. And now leadership is being transferred over to Joshua, his second in command, if you will. So how old was Joshua when he took over command? He was between 68 and about 75 years old, is about how old Joshua was when he took over here. And these are kind of like the first words, if you will, from the Lord to Joshua, not through Moses, if that makes sense. Every time before, maybe if the Lord spoke anything about leadership, it was always through Moses or Aaron, wasn't it? Right? Through the priest or through Moses himself. So now it's Joshua's turn. Right? So let's see what kind of advice, if you will, the Lord has for Joshua. It says in verse 1 there, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them and the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses.'" You know, and since I kind of titled it, I loosely title my messages sometimes, because it's not generally my style to put title on things. But, you know, as we look at this, it's kind of interesting to see. We see the first promise that the Lord gives to Joshua in his preparation or in his transition to leadership. The first promise we see there, verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses." That promise that the Lord gave to Moses is still carrying over to Joshua. So Joshua doesn't have to worry about, hey, the Lord is going to change his word. He's going to change his promises. So that still, you know, as we walk forward, as we continue forward and go into this land of giants, you remember that? They said that that Canaan was full of giants, and there was a lot. I don't know how many, but we do hear about. We know the family of Goliath was there, right? We know of several other tribes of giants, as what Caleb and the spies saw in earlier in the book of Deuteronomy or Numbers, if you will. And then we also saw that Caleb also killed off a family of giants. Right, so there were giants there. Caleb was a pretty cool guy. He killed off some giants. But, you know, they're preparing to go into this land that they don't know. Basically, to look at it from the outside in, it looks pretty fearful. It doesn't look like something they're going to be able to do. These people, these nomads, if you will, that have nothing, they got their tents, they're walking around the desert for 40 years. They don't have much, right? You think about it, they don't have very much. They've been wandering around for 40 years, and now they're being told, hey, you know, go ahead and continue into Canaan, and you're going to be doing a lot of war. There's going to be a lot of warfare coming up, you know, so prepare yourselves. So the first promise that God tells Joshua, and he reminds him of, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So Joshua already knows what the Lord says. If he believes what the Lord says is true, he automatically knows that, hey, wherever we go, that place is going to be ours. God is going to bless it. When we go there, nobody's going to be able to stand before us, right? So that's the first thing. Verse 4 says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory, right? And as we look at modern day Israel, and as we look at old ancient maps of the land that Israel took, we see it's pretty small. But if you actually look at the total land that God promised Israel, it was pretty big. It included most of Iraq into Iran and a lot of Syria. It was a pretty big area. And without looking at it myself, I'm just kind of recalling it from memory, but it was a pretty big area. It wasn't nowhere near as small as it is today. Verse 5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Here we got the second promise that the Lord gives Moses. You know, so Joshua's got this calling in his leadership, right? So he's got this calling. We already know that he's got what his purpose is going to be, to lead the children into Canaan. But what more do you need? What more does a leader need if he's going to be continuing on, right? What more does he need? Well, he needs the promises of the Lord. He needs to know that the Lord is going to be going with him. So we saw the first one that says, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. And then now we see in verse 5, not only are they going to walk into the land and be able to claim it, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. And he says this again, I will not leave, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. You know, here we got like wrapped up in two promises. So God not only promises that wherever they go, it's going to be theirs, but he also here kind of expands upon that promise, saying, hey, with the armies of Israel, nobody's going to be able to stand before the armies of Israel. They're going to go forth and they're going to just start destroying everybody, right? And you could, if you read some of the other histories and the battles that we see in the First and Second Kings, and also you can read about some in First and Second Chronicles, some of the battles that the children of Israel do are just, I mean, they're worthy of movies, if you will. Some of the things they do, like Gideon, when he went to fight with only his 300 men, and the Lord says, hey, just take this set of 300. He started off with a lot more than that, right? And he went and he beat the other army, didn't he? Of course, with God's help. But that promise there was fulfilled many times. Sometimes it wasn't, you know, because the children of Israel strayed. But for the most part, when they were walking with the Lord, you know, they had that promise. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So here in verse 6, now he's getting some instruction, you know, some more reiteration, if you will, of the instruction that Moses got. Be strong and of good courage. The Lord's being encouraging to him. Hey, it's all right. You know, be strong. Be good courage. You know, be courageous. It's easy to be courageous when you know you've got God at your back, isn't it? Right? We've all seen those movies or seen those comic book strips where there's like a bully picking on a little kid, right? And the little kid's kind of scared at first. And then all of a sudden, the little kid knows his big brother's going to be there with him. What's that little kid do? Man, all of a sudden he gets a little bit of bravery, doesn't he? He starts maybe saying stuff that he wouldn't normally say and calling the kid names he wouldn't normally call him. Why? Because big brother's right around the corner there. He's going to protect me no matter what, right? So it's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord's like, hey, be strong, be courageous. Don't worry about it. I'm right here with you. And that statement goes with us, not only the children of Israel, but it goes with us in everything that we do. Now, that's not to say that if you decide to go against the Lord, what the Lord is telling you to do, that still applies to you. It's not to say that I'm going to go down to the bar on Friday night drinking and I can still take this encouragement from the Lord to, you know, with me. Be strong and courageous, right? That doesn't work out the same way. I'm going drinking, so I'm going to be strong and courageous, right? That doesn't make any kind of sense. But if the Lord calls you to do anything, you know, we're starting up these couple little plans, all these plans, these things we're starting up, like the midweek Bible study and the weekly teen meetings and the Bethel kids, this was all stuff that we've heard from you all, right? This is stuff that we've heard more than several times. Hey, be a good idea to start this up. All right, let's do it, Right? Sometimes when you hear things like that, you know, it's, and the Lord's putting it on the heart of people. The Lord's put, given the desire, if you will, to start something like that up. Hey, why not? Let's start it up. Success depends on the Lord anyway. So, I mean, let's try it out and we can go with that promise. Be strong and courageous, right? Be strong and courageous. Just go forward with it. Take the plan, take the idea, right? And just, and walk forward in it. The Lord's calling you to do some music. That's not always fun, is it? It's not my cup of tea, but you know, hey, be strong and courageous. The Lord's calling you out there. Right, I remember when we first got here, Phil was talking about his shoulder, and I don't know if it still bothers you very much, but at the same time, I tried to be an encouragement. Phil's like, you know, if the Lord's calling you to play the bass and you know your shoulder's been bothering you, let the Lord take care of that part. Just walk out on it. You know, if the Lord's calling you to do something, let Him take care of it. When we went to Peru, I can't tell you how many people would tell me, you can't be going to Peru. You got a bum leg, and they don't have cars down there, not very many cars. You're going to be walking a lot. Why are you even thinking about going down there? And I told him, I was like, you know, I feel like the Lord called us to go down there. I'm going to let Him worry about that piece, and I'm going to worry about what He's called me to do. He didn't call me to worry about my leg pains and not being able to walk very well, did He? Now, if He put me in the situation, He can take care of it. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. Lord, if You put me here, You can take care of it. You're going to still provide a way for me to continue moving forward in Your will. So I don't worry about that part. All right. So be strong and courageous. Continue to move forward. Verse 6 again says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left hand or to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. Here's a condition that the Lord has given Joshua. He says, if you look at verse 7 again, he says, you can kind of turn this verse backwards. And he says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may be prosperous wherever you go. Right? You can kind of look at that last part there and say, hey, the condition set upon my promises is that you continue to walk in the things that I've told you to do. Just like I just said a second ago, you can't say, I'm going to be strong and courageous and go off and do something that's against the God's will. That's silly, right? The Lord says, hey, if you're doing what I want you to do, Then you know, go forward, be strong and courageous. I'm going to be right there with you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. I'm right there with you. It says, just like he the promise that he gave in verse five, it says, I will not leave you nor forsake you, right? But just like Moses, or not Moses, if you read the book of Jonah, one of the things that Jonah did, and he says in the book of Jonah, he says, if you want to forsake the mercies of the Lord, all you got to do is chase after idols. If you want to forsake the protection of the Lord, Jonah says, just chase after your idols. That way, he said, that's the way to take yourself out from under God's protection. But if you want to stay under God's protection, stay with the Lord, right? Walk close to the Lord. That's what the book of Jonah tells us. And then verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 8 is kind of like an expansion, if you will, of what he just told him in verse 7. Not only do you have to listen to me, not only do you have to walk close to me, but you also says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Everything that you say, what does the Bible tell us Christians now in the New Testament? In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us that every word that comes out of our mouth should bring grace, to minister grace to the hearers, doesn't it? So even today, the book of the law, if you will, or the book of grace and the law of love should be coming out of our mouth constantly, as per what the Paul said in Ephesians. Everything that we say needs to minister grace to people. That's a hard one. That's easy for some, but it's hard for others, isn't it? That stuff cannot depart from our mouth. It has to come out. And like I think I was talking about last week, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's easy to speak good things when you fill your heart up with the things of the Lord. Sometimes you'll just start speaking scripture and you won't even know it, right? I've seen people that it seems like they almost talk to you in broken scripture. It sounds kind of funny. Not funny in a bad way, but it sounds different, if you will. One of the ladies that has been a big mentor to Angela in her life, whenever we get a chance to go see her and talk to her, which is not very often, but I'm always pretty amazed when we go to their house because it seems like they speak Bible all the time. We could be talking about going out for a picnic and somehow she's broken down a bunch of verses that explains the picnic. I don't know. And it makes complete sense. And I'm like, how in the world do they do that? You know, but what's the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You fill your heart up with the good things of the Lord. Your mouth is going to say just the wildest things. The wisdom of God is going to come out of your mouth. And it's just amazing. That's why it's so important to always have our quiet time with the Lord. Always read the Bible. Always pray. Always enjoy fellowship. Right? Just because two Christians are talking doesn't mean it's fellowship. Right? That you're like, what? What in the world? I've seen people that are so negative that it's just, there was this guy in our youth group in South Carolina, and he was getting ready to move out of the youth group. He'd moved out from California, and he's like, man, I don't have any friends. And there was this other guy about the same age, and he was a big time, very positive guy all the time. You know, always loud. The guy from California was kind of quiet, but this other guy in South Carolina, he was always kind of loud. I was like, hey, they'd probably get along. I didn't introduce them, but they ended up meeting each other in church. But so we had one guy that was loud, liked to have a good time. The other guy was always pretty quiet. That seemed like a pretty good match for friends, doesn't it? That seems like, hey, you got the one guy to bring out the colors of the other one, you know, and they have a good time. But one other aspect that they both shared is that they both were very depressive. They both could get in these holes and not dig themselves out. So while on one hand they could go out and have a good time, on the other hand, guess what they would do sometimes? They would sit and commiserate with each other. They would not talk about anything positive. They would almost tear themselves down because nothing was going right in their life. And guess what? That ended up being kind of the nail that broke, or the straw that broke the camel's back. Because guess what? They're still friends today. But guess what? They're not involved in church. They're always out drinking. They're always out partying. You know what? And that part of their personality, guess what? Their fellowship, the devil used their weaknesses, both of their weaknesses, and they sit there and commiserate with each other. Oh, woe is me. Life is hard, you know, and that's what it was. So that's why, I mean, sometimes with Christians, amongst Christians, it's not always fellowship. And that's why Paul is always telling us all throughout his epistles to always be an encouragement to one another. Always build each other up. Don't go the opposite direction, right? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. If you talk to a Christian, I don't care if they've got $10 to the name or $4 million to the name. If they're walking close to the Lord, you know what they're going to have in common? Both of those people will say that I'm blessed, I'm prosperous, I'm happy, I'm peaceful. I have everything the Lord has given me. I have so many blessings. Both of those will say it. Whether they're poor or they're rich, whether they're healthy or whether they're not healthy. Those two Christians that are walking with the Lord, guess what? If they don't say it at that exact same moment together, they will say it eventually together. All right? That's one thing that's why the Bible says that Christians are prosperous. You might say, well, I'm not prosperous. You know, I don't got money. Well, that was the Bible say. Money's the root of all evil, isn't it? Don't concentrate on money. That's basically what the Bible means. Don't look at money as a source of joy. It's always going to let you down. How many millionaires do you know that kill themselves? There's quite a few, right? There's more than you would think, right? How many lottery winners? This is an interesting study if you ever feel like looking it up on the internet. Look on the internet and look at the lives of all the past, 20 lottery winners. You're only going to see like one or two that are still somewhat normal, right? You look at all the other ones, blew their money in such a short time, or they killed themselves, or they're living in drugs, or all this stuff. You know, you think money's going to bring you happiness. You're way off and wrong. It doesn't. I'm just telling you it doesn't, right? And there's a lot of evidence to go with that. But you will be prosperous if you keep the law of the Lord in your mouth and you meditate it day and night. You will be prosperous. You might not be in the world's eyes, but in your eyes, which is where it matters, I think, because you're the one experiencing that peace and joy, in your eyes, you're going to be prosperous. You're going to experience prosperity. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. One thing you should look at here is this encouragement is the same. Do you think this encouragement would change because Joshua had a moment of weakness? The book of James is interesting because it says, one thing it says in the book of James is that if we ask for wisdom, the Lord's going to constantly give it to us. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the Lord's going to always give us wisdom when we ask for it freely. Not He won't upbraideth it, I think is what the Bible says in the King James Version. He's going to give it to you, right? It doesn't matter if you say, let's say, Lord, give me wisdom on how to be a better husband, let's say, right? And the next day you go out there and the Lord's giving you wisdom and you go out there and you yell, scream at your wife and you treat her like garbage. You go to the Lord and repent. Lord, give me wisdom how to treat my wife. And you go out and do the same thing. You do it 100 times and the Lord's not going to come up to you and say, you know what? You've asked for wisdom how to treat your wife better 100 times. I'm not going to give it to you anymore. He doesn't do that. He continues to give you what you need. He's not just going to pull it back and say, oh, that's it. You mistreated it. the advice that I gave you, so I'm not going to give, you know, I'm not going to bring it to remembrance anymore. He doesn't do that. And then that's why the Lord here, he's constantly reminding Joshua, but we see it again. He said, didn't I just tell you? You know, didn't, maybe the Lord's reading Joshua's thoughts and Joshua's having moments of doubt. I don't know. But then he said, hey, have I not commanded? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, so there's the advice that God gave Joshua. And then what's Joshua turn around to do? It says in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. The children of Israel already knew that this was their intent once they left Egypt. But I think they were kind of curious, hey, now that Joshua's taken over, I wonder what we're going to do now. But Joshua went and he reiterated, our intent is still the same. Our goal is still the same. Our purpose is still the same. We're not changing. We're still going to go into this land. And we're going to kick, basically, literally, they're going to go kick some butt. I mean, they do, man. These little nation of the children of Israel, these little nomads, they don't have very much. Man, they go in there and they just start, they go to war with the Lord on their side. And they do some amazing things, right? Even today, you look at the latest war that Israel was in, you know, back in the 40s. I mean, it's amazing. The things the Lord has done for Israel. Verse 12, and we'll get ready to wrap it up, says, and the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, and these were the tribes that were meant to stay on the outside of Canaan while the others went in to take it over. He says, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and giving you this land on this side of Jordan, right? On the before you get into the promised land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all your mighty men of valor to help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land, of your possession, and enjoy it. You know, sometimes when we get to working, sometimes it's hard to enjoy the things that the Lord has given us, right? I think I wrote in the bulletin, you know, taking time. You know, sometimes we get those extra time, we ask the Lord what you want to do with it. Sometimes you already have a desire of what you want to do with your extra time. Hopefully it's nothing silly or goofy, you know, that's against the Lord. But at the same time, some people take their extra time, relax, put your feet up. You know, the Lord is telling these other tribes here, say, hey, once it's time to relax, you come back and enjoy the blessings. But right now it's time to work, he says. Verse 16 says, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you commanded him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. You know what's neat about this is that the encouragement that Joshua was getting from the Lord now was being reiterated back to him from the people. You know, one thing I think it's been interesting as Christians, sometimes you might read a passage. We experience it here in church sometimes. Sometimes we'll go and I'll be preparing a message. You know, and sometimes, and there it is. You know, Lord's give me the message on one hand, and then all of a sudden, somehow the music, because me and Angela, and I like doing this because it's fun, and it kind of, I think, drives Angela crazy a little bit, because she can't plan what kind of music needs to be done. You know, she'll be like, I think she tries to sneak it under the radar. Hey, what you teaching about? You know, and then tries to plan the music, because her nature is to plan, you know. But I say, hey, I don't want to tell you. You know, maybe a little bit, but for the most part, just whatever, pray about it. I think it's fun to, you know, kind of go on the fly like that and kind of feel like you're jumping off a cliff in a way, you know. So I wonder if the water's going to be cold or warm when it hit the bottom. You don't know, right? But sometimes, you know, with the Lord, he'll give me something in the sermon to teach, and then all of a sudden I hear it again through the music. You know, you get that back and forth, and that's just that confirmation. Sometimes the Lord, you might think the Lord's telling you to go down and see somebody at the nursing home. And lo and behold, you get a phone call, and somebody that's talking to you happens to mention that person. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so in the nursing home? You know, it's that back and forth talk. You know, sometimes the Lord tells you something, you hear it again right from somebody else. And that's just the Lord saying, hey, what I told you is true. You know, that's confirmation right there. You need to do whatever you were thinking about, right? But anyway, you know, kind of what I want to say is these promises that God gave Joshua. You know, don't worry, wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. Be strong and of good courage, that continued encouragement that God gave Joshua. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Whatever your armies are going to stand before all the armies of Canaan, don't worry about it. You know, wherever the sole of your foot goes. And that's the promises that Joshua carried on with him throughout his leadership. Guess what? When times got tough, guess what Joshua remembered? He's going to remember that the Lord told him, wherever you go, I'm going to be with you. All right, you know, here we go. You know, this army out there is pretty big. They're an established kingdom, if you will. And here we are, us nomads, the children of Israel that's been wandering around for 40 years. God told us to go do war with them. So I guess, hey, the Lord said he's with us. Let's go forward with it. Right? And look at your life. So in taking this and looking at your life, you know, whatever trials come your way, whatever challenges God puts in front of you, what is the promises that you're taking with you? What are the things that you're relying on? You know, I hope, and let's say, oh, I don't know any promises of the Bible. You need to read the Bible to get those promises, to get that foundation. Why? So nothing can shake you. So you can be like that, I think I mentioned this last week, like that tree planted by waters with deep roots, a deep root system. Nothing's going to blow that thing over, right? If you got deep roots, that thing's going to stand for a long time. Your roots grow when you read the Bible. Your roots grow when you memorize Scripture, especially the promises of the Lord. I'm not saying you have to go and memorize the Song of Moses and Psalm 119, for goodness sake, but memorize certain promises. Promises that I always keep close to my heart is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your paths. I don't have to worry about that stuff because I keep those are promises for me. I don't know what the Lord's going to give you for promises, but to me those have been so monumental in my life. Because guess what? If I acknowledge the Lord, I don't have to worry. I'm not going to worry that He's not going to direct. If I ask the Lord to help me teach, I don't have to worry that He's not going to help me teach. If I ask Him, Lord, take us wherever You want us to go, I don't have to worry that He's going to make a mistake and be like, oh, I didn't mean to send you to, I don't know, to wherever. That's my bad, He's not going to say that. I don't have to worry about the Lord messing up something. It's kind of an interesting step of faith to do that. But if you go out tomorrow and say, Lord, direct my paths, and you get a flat tire and you start despairing, yeah, that's your own fault, right? Ask the Lord, say, Lord, I asked You to direct my paths and now I got a flat tire. You got to fix it because You directed me here, right? And I'm not saying be disrespectful to the Lord. Of course, don't be disrespectful to God. But have that confidence in the Lord and say, hey, You put me here. I know You're going to get me out of it. And sometimes we just have to wait. That's where patience sometimes come in. If you feel like praying for patience, then hey, put on a brave face because that's a hard thing to pray for. The Bible says, how does your pain, I'll say this in closing, but the Bible says, how does the Lord test you to see if you've learned patience? He gives you trials. That's what the book of James says. So if you say, Lord, give me patience, guess what the Lord's going to do? All right, get ready for some testing because we're going to have to test your patience out. Man, that's a hard one. It's funny. I've got funny stories about that. But you know, if you feel like messing with your brother or sister in Christ and say, Lord, give him patience, you're going to hear some funny stories from him. Man, I've had the worst week. You know, it's just some crazy stuff is how. I don't know. You know, but pray to the Lord for stuff. You know, ask Him. Find promises in the Bible, just like the ones we look at this morning. You know, stick them in your memory. Stick them in your heart. So whenever any hard time comes up, the first thing that comes to mind is the Lord's with me wherever I go. Right? He's directed my paths. And whatever, Jesus loves me. You know, I mean, I like singing that song. Jesus loves me. Goodness, why does Jesus love me? Sometimes I meditate on that and it blows my mind. If you want to blow your mind, you know, if you want to marvel, meditate on that song, Jesus Loves Me, and then try to figure out why Jesus loves you, right? There's probably not much to love about you. I mean, there is, right? I say that as a joke. But you know, in the eyes of eternity, there's probably not much to love about us sinners. You know, is there? But Jesus loves us. I mean, if you want to marvel at something, meditate on that song, right? I know we kind of have a lot going on today, a lot of announcements, but, you know, pray for one another this week. Pray that we stay strong. Pray for all the little things coming up. There's going to be bumps in the road. That's how it is. When you try out things for the Lord, there's going to be bumps. You know, so be praying for the midweek Bible study we got planned. Every week we're going to be meeting with the teens now. Pray for that. Like I said, the devil tries to mess things up, all right? So just be praying for us. Pray one for another that the Lord continues to direct and guide us, right? And He keeps us under His protection. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, as we come to You in prayer, Father, I just thank You, Father, for all that You've given us, Lord, all Your promises. I thank You, Lord, that the promise You gave Joshua does not change. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that even though You said it several thousand years ago, Father, that promise that You're going to be with us wherever we go still applies to Your children. Lord, even though we're adopted children, Father, we thank You for that. It still applies to us. Thank You, Lord, for the promise of a peace that passes all understanding, Father, as long as we walk closely with You. Thank You, Lord, for the promise that You will direct our paths if we want You to. Thank You, Lord, for the promise, Lord, that everything happens for our good as long as, again, Lord, the same thing, as long as we love You, as long as we do our best to stick close to You. Father, I would just pray that, pray remembrance, Lord, on everyone here. Lord, that every moment of the day, Lord, if it be your will, or several times a day, that these promises will be made real to them. Lord, that they'll see them, that they'll try to memorize them. Even if they can't memorize them word for word, Lord, they'll get the intent, Father, and the context behind each promise, Lord, so they can just bring it to memory, and so they can just marvel at your works, Lord, at your faithfulness. Bless everyone again, Lord, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you stand as we close out the service.
Let's try that again. All right.
Again, I'll remind you, because I like reminding you all this, because I want you to all remember. Pray, be praying for one another. Pray for me. I always like prayers. I do. I covet everyone's prayers. If I'm allowed to covet anything, I can covet prayer. I always pray for my family, and I think everybody else probably should say the same thing. Pray for everybody. Man, pray. Look across the room right now. I think I don't mean to keep going long here. There was a neat thing one that the church did one time. They said, look across the room. And pick the person that sticks out in your mind. Now take that person, pray for that person all week. I thought that was kind of neat. So if y'all feel like doing that right now, I mean, you know, go ahead and do that. But, you know, as you leave here today, you know, maybe even ask the Lord that. Lord, do you want me to pray for somebody specific this week? You know, and just bring them to remembrance. You know what's interesting about that? If you want to hear the Holy Spirit talk to you real quick, say, Lord, who do you want me to pray for right now? You will have something. Somebody will pop up in your head, you know, and that's just an inkling of the Holy Spirit. Do it 10 times a day. If you feel like it, and sometimes you'll be surprised. I've had people pop up in my head like, man, I haven't thought about that person in a long time. I'll pray for them. You know, if I ask the Lord to do something that's according to His will, it's His will that we pray, right? If we ask something according to His will, He's going to grant it. That's a quick, easy little thing to do, you know. And it's pretty fun to try that. But anyway, thank you all for being here today. We love y'all. We're praying for everybody, and I'm going to ask. I draw that out so I can see who I want to ask pray. I'll ask CW if you can close some prayer, please.